Meeting called together at 6:30 with all members present. Ted Goranson is president. Other members of the board are Matt Bible, Catherine Steele, Susan Hermes, Robert Loudon, Courtney Baker, and Henry May McCord. We have a full quorum tonight. With that, here's my agenda. We have a consent agenda regarding August 11th and 25th, and then September bills are on a consent agenda. Is there any reason to pull anything out and review it?
August 25th is not present. You can table that till next time.
Okay. Let me see a pencil.
Need to address number two.
Public comments. We do not have any public, so there is no public comments. Action items. We start with the consider and approve adult lunch price increase. Michael?
We have a...
Hold on, we need to approve those.
In our consent agenda, I don't think you have to do anything.
We've got a... Don't we usually do a motion and a second for our consent agenda? Yeah.
We have...
Okay.
Motion to approve the minutes from August 11th and the September bills.
Second.
Got a motion by Catherine and a second by Matt. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposition, same sign. 7-0 vote, all members voting yes. Then you have your lunch price.
In order to not have to pay extra or have the district pay extra, we want to move our adult charge up to $4.75. And
so what is method one or method two?
Method the free reimbursed rate and let's see, I can't remember. It's the paid reimbursed rate or the free reimbursed rate, and the free reimbursed rate didn't apply to adults. This is what she handed to me as being, this is what Ms. Oliver handed to me as being the best option as far as keeping our price down, but not as low as it is right now, and which would cost us right around, well, according to what Lisa mentioned to me, was it was about $500 extra to pay the 25 cents per adult versus raising it to where we meet.
So the proposal is $4.75 for lunch and $1.85 for breakfast?
The proposal was just for adult, just okay. Raising the adult to $4.73.
Can you remind us what the current rates are?
$4.50, I think it was $4.50, because it was just under 25 cents.
Motion to push the lunch rate to $4.75.
Got a motion by Matt, a second by Courtney. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposition, same sign. We approve that with a 7-0 vote, all members voting yes. Consider and approve the TASB policy update 125 affecting the local. That was sent to everybody in the email.
It was sent to each, and it was only the local that we were looking at. Just were there any questions or concerns based on the local that I listed? BDAA, BDB, BDF, EI, FDE, FEC, and FFAC.
Did you have any recommendations for changes or just going with what?
Just going with what TASB was presenting.
Yeah, it doesn't look like there was any highlights for anything in there.
That's right.
Anybody have any questions on the 125, or we want to move on with it?
Motion to approve the TASB policy update 125, affecting the local procedures.
A second.
Got a motion by Catherine, a second by Susan. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposition, same sign. All members voting in the affirmative. Consider and approve AgriLife adjunct faculty request.
This is the, it's the same for that we've done each year with Shannon and Natalie. It's just the yearly approval.
Motion to approve.
Got a motion by Matt.
Second.
Second by Robert. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposition, same sign. All members voting in the affirmative. Consider and approve mandated consent forms for nurse, FFA, and counseling.
All right, so the approval, they're mandated, but so I say approval of a mandated, but the idea is that they are customizable. So the what we're going to approve is using this, the one that is for sponsored student clubs, because that has to change. Right now, FFA had to have that in order for students to participate in a club. And what it does is it gives students the, rather than giving students the opt-out option, it's making students opt-in so that they're not pressured to be in any particular club or and it goes for, they hit three main areas. Number one, students, parents have to give their students permission to be part of a club. They have to give their children permission to go through, to visit with a counselor. And they have to have permission to visit with the nurse. Now, these things happened right at the beginning since we started earlier than most. And as this was coming clear to us one at a time, actually, the nurse was the first one to be aware that this was available to us. And then FFA. So the people that were at the region in charge of those different areas would reach out individually to one to the nurse, then one to Mr. Washington, and then I found the one with the counseling. I realized that there was one for counseling. So what we're approving is to use the format that that the service center provided us, knowing that we were going to be able to change like club names depending on what clubs come up, but they're all going to have it, and they're all going to be opting in. They have to opt in, so they have to sign it. If they don't sign it, then
they're not in.
The mom has to be called instead of going to the nurse.
Okay.
They can't be made or forced to be part of a club.
Anyone want to approve that one? Or?
I move that we approve the mandated consent forms.
Got a motion by Courtney.
Second.
Second by Matt. All those in favor say aye.
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 Any opposition? Same sign. All voting in the affirmative. The employee handbook.
The employee handbook, I talked to you a couple meetings ago about some of the things that we were looking at with it, but basically the employee handbook is not something that we have to approve as a board, but it is something that what I wanted to present it to you, or the reason I wanted to present it to you is because if we've had one, some of the employees were unaware that we had one, so I more wanted to bring this to you to say that I am taking TASB's and I am bringing it to you. The changes that I made were not changes in vernacular or language of any kind based on what TASB put out. What I did do is have to pick between them saying this paragraph, which would fit bigger districts, or this paragraph, which would fit our district. And I just picked the paragraph that actually fit kind of what we were doing already. But it provides the employees with some information. And the main, so the main thing is the table of contents is, it tells them how workman comp works. It tells them how jury duty, all the things that they have questions about. And they literally come and ask each one of these points. They'll come and ask about it, but this explains what rights they have in certain areas, and then also protects us.
And I see it addresses certifications and licenses too.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And another reason that these are coming late is because I did the student handbook with you, and actually 2 days later they changed the student handbook, but we had already changed it to fit the cell phone policy, things like that. So this is one of the reasons these are coming late, is because they were still updating stuff based on the latest legislation.
So just a couple comments. There's a couple.
Yeah, and I left that. I am probably going to, what I would like to do is delete those, because I can refer to the pages, but I'm going to have to go back and make sure that it actually is that page anymore. So that's one of the reasons that I blacked them out. What we've done in the past is just utilize the list. If when you open it and you see this is where you are, you just go back.
When you get this to a final draft, email it to us.
Okay.
It's not an action item, but we'd like to see it.
Yes.
And we can all look it over and see if there's something else we can help you with.
Okay.
My only other suggestion would be elimination or minimalization of specific names, because an employee leaves, now you're having to go back and update the handbook.
And I think that's
just
why
put
they
positions.
Do it. And I think that's why they do it, is so you have to redo it every year. I've had that question.
Well, but if she leaves tomorrow, you're have to lost employees.
And I think that's also the reason this is not intended to necessarily be an action item for the board. The next one is.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, I mean, I agree. I just followed what it said, but I agree. It would just be the role, and I can change that.
Titles are fine. Names are.
Titles make more sense.
Yeah, maybe just put like business manager or whatever.
All right, item F, consider and approve the 2025-26 Student Code of Conduct.
Okay, the Student Code of Conduct, I pulled this straight from TASB as well. They're the one that they're looking for, but I did make four specific things that I wanted you to be aware of. They, when you print it, so if you'll notice, it says page one, and then no more pages. So I'm going to tell you the section. If you'll turn to about page three, you'll see security personnel. So where it says page one, and then the page that starts with threat assessment, at the bottom paragraph, security personnel. The only thing that I did there is on the first line, the board utilizes local law enforcement. The way they had it worded was we utilize police, SROs, things that have to do with that are security service, things like that. So I actually just changed anything. Change that I made was based on what we are actually doing. So we are utilizing local law enforcement and the Guardian program to ensure the security and protection of students. So if that's page three, four, five, six, seven, and then eight, which starts with the word knuckles. In the middle, possession of personal communication devices. Again, this is, you had a choice. So that first bullet point, use personal communication devices. You had choices, including a cell phone or other electronic device. During the school day, shall store the device in accordance with the method of storage established by the district. We allow students to put their phones in the office. We allow students to keep them in their backpack if they are unseen. Basically, the rule of thumb is if it's unseen, you don't have it, based on what I'm asking the teachers to do. But the other ones were specific, like you have to have a locker for it or you have to have something that would typically require us to buy more stuff. So I picked the one that fits what we're doing. And if that's page 8, back is 9 and 10, and this is where it gets, when you start looking at, it would be the next one, very top, discipline management techniques. The only thing that I took out, I took this out, or I left it in there, and I did leave it in there. I'm sorry. I started to take it out, but including restorative practices. I wanted to draw this to your attention because it says, and the only reason I left it in there is because it says including. If it said that we are using restorative practices, because restorative practices, I believe, based on my experience, are the reason that so many teachers are fleeing education, and the reason that so many things are happening that are happening in school is because restorative discipline is focused on the perpetrator and trying to make them profess some sort of empathy for the victim. That's not something that you can push on someone. They either have it or they don't. And in many cases, just on boots on the ground, the experience is they tell you, I'm sorry that I did that to you, so they can get off of whatever punishment they're doing, and then they come back and do it to you the next day. So bullying is one of the things that, if it's done correct, and it's also something that is not something that I lean to love and logic. Love and logic is, restorative discipline is being pushed by the state. But love and logic is something that doesn't escape consequences. It's because you love them that you allow them to suffer the consequences and experience natural consequences. But restorative discipline has a different connotation to it because it's started off in prisons and has bled into the school district. And is something that if you utilize correctly, can be worked and utilized in with specific students is helpful and valid, but that's why I left it in there. I just wanted you to be aware. I left it in there because it says including, but it doesn't limit us to that. And I just wanted you all to be careful of anything that would limit us to that one thing, because it is being pushed or promoted. Okay. And so that was 10, 11, 12, and it would be 13, actually, because I deleted some paragraphs in the either or. But parent involvement, the district has not adopted a policy for parent involvement in school disciplinary placements. This parent involvement paragraph was all about the choices were we either don't adopt a policy for parent involvement when we're sending a student to DAP, for instance, or specifically talking about DAP, or we adopt a policy where we tell parents what to do if their kid is going to DAP. And it actually tells them how to, like, your kid is being punished, now this is what you have to do. Bam, 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 bam. Now, that's always something that I've been able to do in the past as a DAP principal. I can tell parents they have to do this for their kid to get it, so it's nothing that I felt like we needed to have as a mandate in our, that we have one, or to bind us to one that we created. So this gives us the leeway to deal with parents individually as well. Okay. And those are all the changes other than, those are the main changes altogether. The rest of it is shape from TASB.
Have we had this?
No.
Yeah, I don't remember reading anything like
no.
this.
And it does become a liability not to have them, but the wording that I've noticed is that nothing is restrictive. It doesn't. There were a couple years there where they told you how to do things, and I don't see TASB doing that right now. Okay. And this is an action item for us to approve.
Motion to approve the 25-26 student code of conduct.
You got a motion by Courtney.
I'll second.
Second by Susan. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposition, same sign. We all approved in the affirmative. Go on to item G, your discussion. We'll have a discussion on the side-by-side bidding.
Yes, so we have you should have in front of you Kubota, the Kawasaki, and the John Deere side-by-side. I've never known anything other than Kawasaki, so I don't know.
The Kubota's a diesel.
Yeah, that was one of the things. They make a gas engine, but it was a much smaller torque.
The John Deere is a demo. And then Kawasaki is a new unit.
Yes. And then also, if we can find, we were told that if we go to Shoppa's, that Kleiber would price match anyway. So that was one of the.
$1,500 extra just for the diesel. Okay.
The only consideration is service.
That's a $100 raise of the range.
Or BAME or.
Well, the
Victoria,
Kubota's right here in close by, and they'd probably come pick it up if you asked them. You don't think so?
It's on Robert's way to town.
I was going
to
say, y'all didn't want a diesel though, right? I don't know a lot about side by side, I remember someone saying they didn't think we should have a diesel.
Something, not just a Gator. We have a 2-seater Gator with a metal gate on it, the bed. That's all they need.
Yeah, they don't need no four wheel drive.
She was adamant on having four a long seat, bed two seat, but, and yeah. On. I just don't know.
None strip, of the districts have them.
Stripped down basic.
They have a basic.
As we can get.
2-cylinder centrifugal clutch. Gas powered. That's all we need. She's wanted to do.
What she wanted to do.
We don't have to haul 2,000 pounds.
Probably do it for $5,000 less than this.
So we'll table this. Go get us some bids on
our
bare basic units.
Or, I mean, Robert, if you want to.
Get some bids and get with
them.
Yeah. You probably have more contacts than anybody else does.
I don't think we need an $18,000 four-wheel drive. It's not necessary.
Do you feel like a 2-seater will?
Seemed high to me, but it didn't. But I don't know that. I really don't know that.
Yeah, we don't.
Is a 2-seater sufficient?
They're worried about hauling and stuff, but I'm not sure.
Or moving and stuff, picking up.
We're gonna do tree limbs and trash from the back from the cafeteria to the dumpster over there.
It was, from what I heard, it was more to keep him from having to use, Paul from having to use his own truck.
So two,
so I don't think it needs to be
single seat
V8, but.
Item would be fine for that. If it's all it is for, basically. Yeah, and they can still use it.
Basic.
They can still use it for other things.
Stream says it next month.
Superintendent report, progress on playground, sod,
Actually, you can see, so we're walking around looking at what we were going to do in the playground. One of the things that came up is where those air conditioner units are right there behind us. There's in the rain since the sidewalk, serious erosion, which will eventually cause the air conditioners to tilt. So I discussed with Travis, was that his name? Travis, right?
Or Tim.
Tim. Tim, I was discussing with Tim about different options, and we talked about piping underneath the mulch out to the sod area. We talked about, because we also have the rain, the gutter that runs along the front of the gym pours into that spot. So basically what happened is the sidewalk created a dam, and it pools, it runs through and pools right there. So, they were going to, Tim actually was going to look at different options. He called me yesterday, or his wife called me yesterday, and I think what they couldn't find many options themselves. So I'm going to call Weaver and Jacobs, is that right, who built the sidewalk, and see if they can cut a section of the sidewalk. Let Mr. Washington and his students build just like they have the grading in front of the grading across, so it can just, when it rains, it won't, it'll drain into where the mulch is, but it'll, and on top of that, Tim was going to put peat on top of peat gravel on top of to fill it so that it would sift through the peat gravel and then drain into where the playground is. We also talked about extending the black wall along about a foot away from the sidewalk so that there is a place for that water to not just go right where the kids are playing, but to follow down so that it has a way to seep out. So that's what's actually halted it at this point. Is now I'm gonna call Weaver and Jacobs and see if they can come out and...
It's all good.
Yeah. So that we can have the shop. Okay. So we want to fix that before we do anything new with mulch and things like that.
Once you get with Brandt or whoever over at Weaver and Jacobs, send out an email to everybody, let them know you've talked to him.
Okay. I will.
And then what his response was.
Okay. The Dixon Allen Foundation, I just wanted to make you aware that we did, and that I talked to them, and they did get our request or our letter that's requesting for our one-third of Chromebooks, the constant rotation of at least one-third every year. So I look forward to hopefully getting that. But I wanted you to be aware that we did that. Also, we have... 14 certified teachers, which puts us ahead of the, as far as the mental health first aid training, we had 14 certified last year. By the beginning of 25-26, you're only supposed to have 25% of your teachers, or that's the goal, is 25% of teachers or more certified, so we're sitting pretty with that, and it doesn't include people that have left. And the 6200s, I made a list so you could see the budget and the actuals of what we have, as well as the balance in each of the 6200 accounts that we have. And let's see what there was one that was.
This is for September already? Or is this last
this
year?
Is, no, this is like what we have as year. Of, what we have of 9-8-25. Yeah, this is last year. So, which brings me to this other thing. There are some things that we haven't paid that are like 829, I think I had 827, 828, 829, some bills, and we're working with the service center, and Caitlin, who's worked with us before, on how to, before we do the drop down, how to code things so that right now I'm coding everything 6 for this year, but it is possible that we'd be able to do some of what I wrote out today on last year's budget still. So we're looking at that so that we can.
When is your audit scheduled to start?
I don't know.
You don't know, probably be October, would be my guess. We need to make sure we have the budget amended before that
right
audit starts.
And this is the bank reconciliation as of August 31st. Just wanted to make sure so you could see that.
Do we have anything for closed session?
Yes, actually.
We'll go into closed session at 7:02. You can stop the recording.
7:35.
7:35 out of closed session. I don't see anything else on the agenda.
That's right.
Motion to adjourn.
Got a motion by Matt, a second by Robert. With no further business, we are adjourned.